Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Man, this show is flying by today for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's not ladies' night. I guess it'd be ladies' afternoon for the first hour of Issues, etc. To round off this would now be the quartet here of women on the program this Tuesday afternoon, September the 15th, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's a regular because she joins us to talk about teaching a Sunday school lesson. Last time it was King David. Now we're on to David's son, who inherits the kingdom and receives from God special wisdom. But what is wisdom? I mean, you read these books that Solomon wrote. He wrote Proverbs, generally considered kind of this tidbit of long chain of tidbits of wisdom. Ecclesiastes, which is an odd bit of wisdom itself, and Song of Solomon that we probably wouldn't be sharing with the Sunday school kids too much. So what did wisdom look like when God gave it to Solomon? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be back. How are you today?
I'm very well, and how are you?
Just great. Another lovely afternoon in St. Louis.
The word wisdom, anyone could look it up in the dictionary, and it probably would have something to do with making right decisions or something like that. How do you explain to a Sunday school kid what wisdom is?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. And I think we got to go to the scripture here and really pinpoint what Solomon asked for. And if you know the Hebrew or you have access to someone who knows the Hebrew, what Solomon prayed for was literally a listening heart. And that listening heart is a heart that listens for the voice of wisdom, the voice of Christ himself. And so when we talk to children about wisdom and seeking true wisdom, we are seeking God's will, God's voice, God's guidance for our lives, both in church on Sunday morning and every moment, every day that we live and breathe on this earth. And so it's helping children to look outside themselves and to look to God for all things, including wise counsel, wise judgment, how to make the right decision, teaching them to look to their Lord.
So tell us the story about Solomon and how he acquired this wisdom from God.
Well, as you mentioned, Solomon was the child of David. He was the second child of David out of his marriage to Bathsheba, and we covered that last week in David's sin. And his father dies, and he is appointed the king. And after becoming king right away, he has some political scores to settle for his father. There's some things he has to clean up and take up. And then this kingdom is firmly established in his hands. And God blesses his kingdom and his kingship. The nation expands its borders. There's money. He was able to build a beautiful temple, and that's next week's story. And there was relative peace for Israel. But even Solomon, who on his knees prayed to God, a God he believed and trusted in for wisdom, even he was human and not all was perfect, but he was, as Scripture tells us, wiser than all other men, and that not because of him, but because of his prayer. And God came to him in a dream and assured him of his wisdom and his counsel, and that he would guide him. And so that's the story this week, is this prayer for wisdom that Solomon speaks and the Lord appearing to him in a dream by night. And God says to him, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon then beautifully, in this prayer, in this dream, recounts first what God has done for him, showed him great and steadfast love to him and his father, and he talks about how God has kept his love and his blessings for him and put him on the throne. And then he talks to God about how he had made him the king and points out that he needs help. He calls himself a little child. He's not a child physically at this point in his life. He's already a father of children, but here he means, I'm little in my knowledge and my ability to rule. And so he asks God to give him discernment between good and evil so that he can govern his people. Beautiful prayer in this dream. And then the text says, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said, because you've asked this and not asked for all these other things that anyone would expect him to ask for, riches and power and all the things that come with being a king, God says, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you what you prayed for, and I'm going to give you everything else too. And so he was mightily blessed, and he awoke, realized it was a dream, but it came true in his life, and as we'll study in these next few weeks in Sunday school.
Now, if you would, at least set Solomon in the context of the promise that has been made to David, because that is so part and parcel of this interaction between God and Solomon, where he receives this wisdom. And I imagine probably for Solomon in his day was the way, really kind of the way he looked at God in light of this promise that had been made to his father David and its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
Yes, he grew up looking to God as his one God, his true God, the one who provides for him. He was a child of God. And interesting for teachers and for parents to see here in this text, pointing children to God for all things, including this wisdom, and looking to him and trusting him for what he gives us, and being able to recognize these things as coming from God. It gets to those first article gifts, all the daily blessings of life, daily bread, house, home, field, cattle, all of the things that we have. Solomon recognized that as coming from God, and he looked to God. And his looking to God goes all the way back to God's word to Moses, to Abraham, to his father David, about training their minds and hearts on the Word of God, and not looking or listening to other voices or other things. God has always provided his clear and certain Word, and that's where wisdom is to be found, true wisdom and lasting wisdom. And you have the Ten Commandments inscribed on stone. You have God's Word recorded on scrolls, and that's where we look for true wisdom, and that really runs counter to what we have in this world today and to the worldly view of wisdom.
A couple things here, Pam. It seems as though Solomon lives up to the promise that God has given him for some time. I mean, we have Proverbs, we have Ecclesiastes.
Beautiful, yes.
And although, I mean, the Proverbs is kind of straightforward, Ecclesiastes really takes some discernment to figure out what this guy is trying to say. And even greater discernment probably exercised in another way on the Song of Solomon, these things that come from Solomon's pen. But we know of Solomon's story that later in his life, I don't think his wisdom fails him, but it sure seems like his common sense does. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that's right. And you see already in this week's lesson, at the beginning of chapter 3, that he made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. So here he marries a woman who's not from the family of God, and he did things like this, and these wives would turn his head away from God and to other gods. He had many pagan wives over time, collecting them, and they turned his heart after other gods. And that then caused him to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And he did foolish things like overtaxing and overworking his citizens. He contracted alliances with other nations, Gentile nations, and really walked away from the Lord's wisdom and guidance, looking other places, so much so that after his death, his nation was split in two, and that's where we get the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom Judah.
Can you reconcile something for me here? Because if you look through, and this might be something that the older kids in Sunday school would actually do, you know, they do a concordance study of the word wisdom, mm-hmm. and here it is highly touted in these stories of Solomon and early on in the Old Testament. By the time you get to the New Testament, it sounds like wisdom isn't a good thing. I mean, it is, mm-hmm. Jews seek signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ and Him crucified. There seems to be a lower view of wisdom, or am I missing something?
Well, I think it's understanding what is meant by wisdom in those contexts. Here, clearly, wisdom, listening heart towards God and what He has to say, quite different than when Paul starts kind of trashing wisdom, because he's speaking of the worldly wisdom. The wisdom of the Greeks is not this wisdom that Solomon prayed for. It's not a wisdom that seeks God's will and God's ways. It's a wisdom that comes out of the heart of man.
Let's take a break right there, and when we come back, we'll let Deaconess Pam Nielsen finish the contrast between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom which is Christ Himself. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois; Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana; Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan; Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois; the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan; Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming; Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana; Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois; and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org. And click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, teaching a Sunday school lesson today, The Wisdom of Solomon. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We'll talk about President Obama's nominee for commissioner of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, oversees matters of firing and hiring. It's a regulatory agency. And if I'm not mistaken, this new EEOC head is an expert in gay rights. So what should we be aware of? Jen will tell us in a few minutes here on the program. The Dr. Ben Witherington will be our guest of Asbury Theological Seminary. We'll talk about Dan Brown's new novel just out today, The Lost Symbol, and Dan Brown's worldview a little bit later on Issues Etc. Pam, before the break, you were contrasting for us the good wisdom, which we find in Solomon early on in his life, that is commended to us, and the world's wisdom. Pick up where you left off.
Well, we were talking about the true good wisdom is the wisdom that comes from God very clearly to us in His Word, very certainly in His Word. And the worldly wisdom is to look anywhere but God's Word for guidance in our lives. And when Paul was in his epistles and letters talking about wisdom, he saw and had to point out to people that what looked shiny and bright and wonderful, the world's wisdom, and you know, we might call that, what is it today, conventional wisdom that you hear about, Paul had to point out for people that that wasn't wise at all. It really was foolishness, and that it is in Christ and God, the triune God, where true wisdom lies, and He gives us His Word and guides us. And the beauty of Paul's writings point out to us that this wisdom is often hidden or veiled. It's not obvious. So if something's smacking us in the face obvious, we maybe ought to step back and go, whoa, I'm not sure this is it. But this particular lesson really gets at something that's very important in all of our teaching in Sunday school, is to help children understand first where true wisdom comes from, God and His Word, and second, that Word is not just for this little time in church on Sunday morning, but it is for every moment of our life on this earth, that God has something to say to us and for us, and the greatest wisdom in that Word is that at the end of it all, our sins are forgiven because of His Son, Christ Jesus, on the cross. And because of that, we will live forever in heaven. And that's the ultimate wisdom. And that's what we're living to and for to be someday in heaven with Christ. And how to help children understand that they can pray to God like Solomon did for the help they need along the way in this life, whatever that might be, to pray to God for guidance, for discernment, for daily bread, helping children to see that God is a God who is vested in them both now and in eternity because of His Son Christ on the cross.
If one of the kids asks, is Solomon, I mean, in essence, is Solomon the exception? Can I have the kind of wisdom from God that God gave to Solomon? How do you respond?
That's a good question, too, because I think it's in chapter 4, perhaps, where it says there was no one wiser than he. And yet, I think the answer is we can have that wisdom because for Solomon and for the children in our Sunday school and for you or I, this wisdom doesn't come from within. It's not born out of me in my sinfulness. It's wisdom that comes to me from my Heavenly Father. And He promises to give us all good things, and certainly His wisdom is good for us, and His wisdom is good for us to salvation. And so we pray in faith, we trust Him, He will give us His wisdom, and indeed He already has through His Word. And, you know, so often people say, well, I'm praying and praying and praying, and I say, well, have you poured over His Word? He gives answers there, and that's the other part of it, where a spiritual world in this Western culture adopting all these spirituality practices, but there always seem to be void of the Word. People are meditating, they're praying, they're thinking quietly like here on the high places, but never with God's Word open, reading it and hearing it with a listening heart. And that's the other part of it. And with that, then yes, we have the wisdom of Solomon because it comes from God to us through his word.
The things that Solomon writes, he often seems to be, he'll talk about the wise man and the foolish man, almost as though he's talking about the believer and the unbeliever. Am I reading too much into it?
Well, I think you can probably go there because when you look to Paul, and then what he says later on in the New Testament about wisdom and foolishness and the wise and the foolish, certainly there he's making a distinction. Because to look to God for wisdom with a true listening heart, one that seeks to hear and seeks to follow what God says, is only the heart of a believer and only someone who has been granted faith by the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. So again, all of this, we can't even ask for the right kind of wisdom. We don't know what it is without God working in our hearts and minds. It all comes from God, and true wisdom is knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. That is the ultimate wisdom, and it's the wisdom that surrounds and enfolds all the other wise things that we need for this life. If you don't have that, you're not a believer, and then you really don't have true wisdom.
Oh, Ralph emails us with this. He says, as I was listening to you and Deaconess Nielsen talk about the Sunday school lesson on the wisdom of Solomon and the irony of Solomon's doing some very foolish things, it struck me that Pam's comment about wisdom being literally a listening heart explains this in a way I had never connected before. Solomon's wisdom was not an infused characteristic that could be used apart from God, but an attitude reflecting the Lord's work, word, and purpose, an attitude that only lasts while one's heart is listening to the Lord, who is himself wisdom. Once again, we can not be Lone Ranger Christians, especially when we are ranging alone from the Lord. Your thoughts there with only 1 minute, Pam.
Well, I think that's right. This listening heart, understanding that that's what the Hebrew there says, really does change how you understand this. And it contrasts, you know, in this text, he talks about praying or going to the high places. That went away after the temple was built and people were pointed to the temple where God's word and the worship were, just as we are. In our world, people going back to the high places, running after pagan gods, running after spiritual experiences, all void of God and his word and true wisdom in Christ Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. By the way, Concordia Publishing House will send you free samples of Growing in Christ. Just call 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click on-demand and look for Growing in Christ. Pam, talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Bye-bye.
In hour two of Issues, Etc., straight ahead, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us from the Ruth Institute. President Obama has made a nomination for commissioner of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, apparently an expert on disability and gay rights. We'll find out what may be in store for us as employment matters, at least as far as they go in government regulation, may be overlooked by someone who has an eye on gay rights or perhaps furthering that agenda. We'll find out. Dr. Ben Witherington will join us after about 10 minutes in that second hour of the program. Dan Brown has a new novel out, his third that really has been a blockbuster. This one, at least according to publishers' expectations, with 5 million books in the initial printing, is expected to be a bestseller. Probably will be by sometime tonight, I imagine. Well, we'll find out what Dan Brown has to say about his new novel, The Lost Symbol, and what Dr. Ben Witherington has to say about Dan Brown's worldview that is apparently reflected not only in his first, second, but also now again in his third novel, The Lost Symbol. By the way, the subject of that newest novel by Dan Brown is the Masonic Lodge, and Dan Brown is enamored with the Masonic Lodge, all of its secrets, its arcane rituals. It's Dan Brown kind of stuff, and you can be sure they'll be making a movie of this one, too, starring Tom Hanks. There's no doubt about it. So what's in store for the readers of The Lost Symbol, and what should they know about Dan Brown's worldview before they venture again into the fictitious world that Dan Brown has constructed for us in this third of his novels? Hour two of Issues, Etc. is straight ahead. Our call-in number for that hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, September the 15th. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or if you follow us at Twitter, you can send us a question or a comment at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse for about 10 minutes on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.